Later this month, just as the Supreme Court takes up the constitutionality of President Obama's health care reform law, the House of Representatives is expected to vote on repealing a little-known but key part of that law, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, or IPAB. It doesn't exist yet. It will only be created if Medicare costs go beyond a certain trigger point by 2018, at which time IPAB will be charged with cutting payments to providers, not care to patients. But Tennessee Republican Phil Rowe, lead sponsor of the bill to repeal IPAB, is calling it the real death panel. On Monday, Mitt Romney called it an unaccountable board with rationing power, a claim echoed in new political ads from the conservative 60-plus association, ads that feature singer Pat Boone.
This IPAB board can ration care and deny certain Medicare treatments so Washington can fund more wasteful spending. Your choices could be limited and you may not be able to keep your own doctor.
The Washington Post fact checker gave that ad three Pinocchios, meaning not true. But Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank and 19 other House Democrats also want to get rid of IPAB. Sarah Cliff covers health policy for The Washington Post. She joins us from their radio studio. So, Sarah, again, IPAB doesn't even exist yet. Why the rush to get rid of it now, especially as you write, Medicare costs are right now going down?
Right. You know, I think that's a good point that, you know, IPAB hasn't come online yet, but it's already one of Republicans' top repeal targets. And, you know, I think even if policy-wise it's not doing anything yet, politically it's, you know, a good target for Republicans who are looking at this board whose job is to kind of bring down Medicare costs. And what they're saying, even though, as you point out, some of it isn't the most accurate, is that you're going to have this 15-person board that's going to be charged with, you know, cutting Medicare beneficiaries' care and deciding who gets what. And even though that's not the case, it does make for a good campaign ad. And that's probably why you see Republicans ramping up the messaging about IPAB right now.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about how it works. It for instance, isn't supposed to cut patients' care, but rather cut payments to hospitals and such. But you've been mentioning Republican opposition. Democrats are opposed as well. Democrat Alison Schwartz of Pennsylvania. Why does she object to it?
Yeah, and what she said, and she was probably the first and, you know, one of the more prominent Democrats to come out against it, along with Representative Barney Frank, they're worried that this is the wrong way to bring down Medicare costs, that they would rather have Congress decide what they want to do and maybe reform the way healthcare is delivered a little bit, cut out some of the waste and abuse. And they're a little nervous that if you turn some power over to this 15-person board, they're not going to like the cuts that are suggested. And that tends to be mostly Democrats in the House who have opposed it. Senate Democrats are the ones who really supported it during the health reform debate and tend to be sticking pretty strong behind it.
Well, you say that the board itself, again, an independent board, and this is the objection of some Democrats, they want it to be Congress instead, but the board itself was sort of patterned on a similar board, the Defense-Based Realignment and Closure Commission, which was set up in the 1980s by Republican Dick Armey, with the backing of the Reagan administration, to make politically difficult decisions about closing military bases. This board was supposed to have that same sort of feel. So tell us how IPAB is supposed to work if, in fact, it's formed if Medicare costs rise and trigger it.
What the health reform law did by creating IPAB is say, you know, in a few years, if the health spending is growing more than 1% faster than the rest of the country, then we're going to have this board that's going to say, here are some changes we're going to make. And like you said, you know, they're not going to cut benefits. They're not going to say, you know, now you can't have this kind of treatment, which I think is one of the misconceptions about this board. But what they could do is change some of the reimbursements that are given to doctors or change how a hospital is reimbursed for a given procedure, trying to, you know, incentivize hospitals and doctors to provide care that gets rewarded for value and for the making patients healthier instead of just straight volume, where a doctor, you know, performs a test or does a surgery and gets reimbursed, you know, on a fee-for-service basis.
Well, as you said, Democrats who are opposed to it are opposed to it in part because they say it abrogates their role, Congress's role. Mm-hmm. How did it get in the Obama health care reform, though, if so many Democrats are opposed to it?
Well, you know, you do have some Democrats who are opposed, but you also had a lot who did support it. And, you know, what they liked about it is it's one of the ways that the health reform law finances this big health insurance expansion, where the IPAB is expected to save the government about $15 billion in healthcare costs. And that money is what's being used, among another dozens of funding sources to expand health insurance to more Americans.
Well, your colleague at the Post, Glenn Kessler, writes that the dispute centers on the philosophical divide where, you know, where we've become accustomed to, that the Democrats who want the panel would rely on independent experts, while the Republicans would rather have the marketplace control costs. Is that pretty much the divide?
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the key debates we're having here in Washington about, you know, it's hard to find a legislator who thinks we've got a good handle on our Medicare budget. There's pretty widespread agreement that it's growing faster than we would like it to. And then, like you mentioned, the divide comes down to, well, how are we going to make those decisions about how we bring down the cost of Medicare? And I think, you know, everyone would like to see us moving away from the system where we pay for volume and we pay for quality. The question is about how we get there. And Republicans have said, you know, they think the best way to pay for quality is put, you know, the patient in charge and have them, you know, decide how they want to spend their healthcare dollars. Democrats, like you mentioned, are looking at having, you know, this board that can set policies that would encourage doctors to provide better care. And, you know, you do see those two approaches playing out, and neither is likely to gain any serious traction here in an election year with a divided Congress, but that is kind of the contours, the debate that we're having right now.
Well, I was going to ask, what's the thinking about what will happen? Right now, there's a fight in the House because while some Democrats want to repeal the IPAB, we mentioned Barney Frank, Republicans right now are tying that repeal to another goal of reforming medical malpractice laws, and the Democrats don't want to go along with that. So there's even a debate as to how this repeal might be voted on. But what's the thinking? Might it be repealed?
You know, it could. I could definitely see it getting a repeal vote in the House. But, you know, this is all kind of politics at this point, because we know that, you know, the Democratic-controlled Senate isn't going to pass that legislation. You know, the Democrats in the Senate have tended to be supportive of it. And, you know, even let's say it did somehow move through there, the White House is very supportive of IPAB, and they've actually suggested increasing IPAB's power and basically saying that it should be enacted at an even lower trigger, where if healthcare costs are growing at an even lower rate than is suggested, than is written into the health reform law, that the board would come into effect. Hmm. So, you know, even though Republicans are going to probably talk a lot about repealing IPAB, especially as the Supreme Court gets underway with its oral arguments, you know, there's no expectation here in Washington that that kind of legislation is going to become law in anytime soon.
Sarah Cliff, who covers health policy for The Washington Post. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Great. Thank you for having me.